welcome you tonight to our service.
Trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this evening. And if you're watching on, we trust the Lord will bless you as well this evening. Let us bow together in prayer. Our Father and our God, we come to thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We pray for thy presence, even in our service tonight. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart, and we pray that thou wilt work in every life. And we pray that tonight, as thy servant brings the word tonight, as the ministry and song goes forward, we pray that thy name, thy great eternal name, will be uplifted, praised, honored, and glorified. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. I'll just make some announcements at the start of our service tonight. Could I welcome you all again in the Lord's name to this service this evening. There are baskets at the exits for your offerings as you leave the service from the different exits in the church here. And then on Tuesday evening is our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. Meet together around the Word of God and in prayer. And we're in the book of Revelation, continuing and concluding, in fact, our series of messages on the survey of the New Testament. Remember that, and you're welcome to join us on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school has resumed, as you know, at 10 a.m., morning worship, 11:30. The subject, Christ-like love, as we continue to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then the communion service will be at the close of our morning service. Please remember to remain in the seat you're sitting in for the morning service if you're remaining for the Lord's table. Bring your own bread and wine. Receptacles for this are available at the services today if you haven't got one or have misled yours from a previous occasion. This service, of course, is for all who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And we welcome those whom the Lord has invited to his table next Lord's Day morning. The prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs from 6:20 to 6:45. Doors open approximately 6:15. The gospel evening service next Lord's Day. The subject, great words of the gospel. Do remember, please, that and do join with us for the services next Lord's Day. The Whitfield College of the Bible. The retiring offerings are at both services next Lord's Day. The work of our college. Remember the new project in Tandragee for the building of the new college. And do remember to give as the Lord has directed you so to do. There will be separate baskets for these offerings next Lord's Day as you leave the services. Please remember the restrictions on entering and exiting. And while in the building, we have eased one of the restrictions in that for people who wish to use the lift or need to use the lift, you can use it if you wish, and you can exit, of course, in the normal way, but please also sanitize your hands and keep social distancing if you're using the lift at any time. This Friday night is a memorial service online for the late Reverend Wesley Graham. That's at 8 p.m. from our Bangor Free Presbyterian Church. You're welcome to link into this service on Facebook and Sermon Audio under Bangor Free Presbyterian Church. Please remember that this Friday. And then Monday week, the 31st of May, for those involved, at 8 p.m. there's a graveyard committee meeting. Please remember that as well. Also, Missionary Council update. Please do pick them up as you leave the service tonight. They're at the exits of the building. Our sympathy again to our sister Dorothy McGahey, the passing of her husband Jim. Special thanks from Dorothy for all the kindnesses shown to her, the prayers for Jim during his illness, and for her since his death. Continue to remember Dorothy in your prayers. If you can, call her. If you haven't done so already, please do so. We encourage you to do that. Please remember our sister in your prayers. I think those are all the announcements. We're going to begin with the singing of the hymn on the screen. You'll see it on the screen, and we trust you will join in the singing of this hymn. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We'll keep our seats as we sing, and then we'll stand for prayer.
Amazing grace.
can, we'll stand for prayer, please. Then Naomi will come and minister in song after we have the prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank Thee we're in the courts of Thy house. There was a time when we couldn't meet here, and it wasn't safe for us. But we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast enabled us to come back into Your house again and to congregate with Thy people. Thou hast told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And we know for some, they still feel unsafe and unable to come. But we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless them tonight as they link into this service. And we pray that the hand of God will be upon them in their homes tonight, that they may know comfort and grace and strength from the Lord. We pray, our Father, that Thou wilt bless those of us who have gathered in this house tonight to hear Thy word and to hear Thy servant, Lord, and to hear the ministry and song. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt undertake tonight, that Thou wilt guide and direct and pour out Thy Spirit upon our brother Derek as he comes in a short while to bring his testimony and tell of God's grace and thank the Lord for His mercy. We pray that Thou wilt use him tonight. Touch the lips of clay with a live coal from off the altar and grant that Thou wilt anoint the eyes with eye salve and anoint the head with oil and grant that Thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit. We pray that Thou wilt bless Naomi as she sings. Give her help in a moment as she comes, that Thou wilt be with her. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless us all who have gathered tonight. We pray that Thou wilt speak to any who are not saved. We pray that Thou wilt lead them to Christ, that this will be the night, this will be the time when they come to the Savior and make no delay. We pray that Thou wilt work tonight effectually and powerfully for Thy glory, that Thou wilt bring souls into Thy kingdom, bring backsliders back to Thee tonight, do a work of grace in hearts and lives. And we pray that Thou wilt move, and not only here, but in all our churches and everywhere the gospel is truly preached tonight, across this land and to the uttermost parts of the world, that Thou wilt use the preaching of the word, that Thou wilt bring souls into Thy kingdom tonight, across the globe. Heavenly Father, remember those amongst us who have sorrow. We think of our sister Dorothy. Comfort her. We pray that Thou wilt console her in her loss of her husband. And we pray that Thou wilt be with her in these sad hours, in these days and weeks and months ahead. Can be so difficult for someone bereft of a loved one. We pray that Thou wilt give grace and help to Your servant and bless her. Bless the word spoken yesterday at the funeral. May it bear forth fruit in the hearts of those that heard. Heavenly Father, we pray for others who are absent from our midst. We think of our sister Dorothy Garrett. Continue to minister to Dorothy. For our sister Mary, continue to minister to her. And for Valerie, that Thou wilt minister to Valerie tonight. And there are others too who don't wish their names to be mentioned, but they are ill at home. And Lord, they are not well and not able to be with us. We pray that Thou wilt touch them and that Thou wilt heal them. Thank You for those who have been out, even this morning, some more, who feel able to come out again. We pray that Thou wilt bless them and undertake for them too. Help us all in these days. Remember our land and this nation and this world in its darkness, in its delusion, in its wickedness. O God, have mercy upon the nations of the world. Thou hast told us to pray for those in authority, and we pray for them that they may be guided aright in the way of righteousness. For righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Hear us now, we beseech of Thee, and grant us Thy presence for Jesus' sake. Amen.
I dare not trust.
thank Naomi for her ministry and song. I think she's another. Have you another piece? Have you? One more. Would you want to do it now? Pardon? Okay, give her a wee rest. Right, okay. Right, we'll have the hymn and then we'll have Naomi and then Brother Derek. We welcome him tonight, his good wife. You normally see Derek with the Kingdom Heirs and you'll know him from there, of course, I'm sure, among that group. But we do welcome our brother tonight. I'm not going to go in on his story. He will tell you how the Lord has been so gracious and good to him over these past months. And of course, we were praying through all of that time and prayer has been wonderfully answered. And we thank the Lord for that. So we're going to have the hymn 334. It'll be on the screen. It was down at the feet of Jesus. We'll keep our seats. Then Naomi will come and then Derek will come after Naomi. Okay.
Thank you. Well, thanks to Naomi for singing in the meeting tonight. That was lovely. Lovely pieces. I didn't think the pianist was too bad either. I thought she played quite well. It's lovely to be with you tonight in Ballygowan. I want to thank the Reverend Smiley for the invitation to come along and to tell of what God has done in my life. Also, suppose at this point, I want to just say thank you to each one of you. I know there's many who prayed for me in behalf of myself and Alison. I want to thank you for your faithfulness and prayer during our times in the last number of years. And certainly we have known God's presence with us and his goodness. I would like to read some verses, please, as I commence tonight from Psalm 27. Just a few verses, the verses 1 to 5, and then I want to move to the verse 11 to 14. Psalm 27, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." Down to the verse 11 it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of courage, good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." This psalm has been precious to many through their Christian life, and David penned this psalm during one of those troubled times in his own life. During these troubled times, David has left us with this guide as to how we should face troubles when they come our way. And David's confidence in God led him to believe he had nothing or no one to fear. God was his light, his salvation, and his strength, and these combined led him to know the peace and the presence of God through his life. David had a grateful heart. He had a thankful heart. And tonight, as believers, as we meet here, we thank God for all that he has done for us. He has taken the punishment of our sin through our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if God had given us the punishment that we deserve, tonight we would be without hope. But tonight, as believers, we have an eternal hope because God, because of the punishment that we deserve, was taken, was laid on Jesus there at the cross. Tonight, as I look back and give a word of testimony tonight, I want to bless the Lord for all that he has done for me. I thank him that he has given me this opportunity to glorify him for how he has blessed me. Well, as was introduced, my name is Derek Preston, and I was born in 1973. I was born into a good home with loving parents. They cared for me, they loved me, and I'm thankful that they also disciplined me. I thank God for them. I thank God for all that they've done for me through my life. And as I look back on my childhood, I can say it was a happy childhood. It was one that I had three brothers and one sister to share that childhood with. And I can honestly say, as children, we lost or lacked nothing as we grew up. Well, we grew up in a small village. Some of you will probably know it because of the churches there. A small village outside Newry called Mull of Glass. And suppose our young lives revolved around that village. We lived there. We went to school there. And yes, we went along the church to Mull of Glass Free. As a small child, I recall my brother and I were collected by one of our neighbours who attended the church there, Brother Stanley Beattie. And Stanley used to collect us in his car and take us down the Newry Road to a little children's meeting. I wasn't too old, I don't remember a lot about it, but I remember well sitting in that little wooden hall and being faithfully taught from the Bible and learning all those choruses that we learned so many years ago. And I'd say those early memories of those children's meetings were the first recollection that I actually recall learning something of God. I must say I also had a mother who was faithful in seeing that me and my brother were sent along to Sunday school and to church there in Mullaglass Free Church. My brother and I used to walk the distance. It probably took us 20, 25 minutes or whatever it was to from our house down to the church. And we went every Sunday morning, come rain, hail, or the snow, if it was the case. And I recall very vividly sitting in a little room at the back of the pulpit. And there, my Sunday school teacher, who's now in the glory, our brother Joseph Downey, I remember well him telling us the things of the Bible. And it was there that I remember the first time that I realised that I was a sinner and that I wasn't ready for heaven. It was the first time that God actually spoke to me and I became aware of the sinful state that I was in as a child. As a young child, I hadn't committed any of the crimes that people go to prison for nowadays, nor did I understand much about the Bible. But I understood that I needed to be saved from my sin. Perhaps you recall just where you sit tonight. Maybe you have memories of your Sunday school, perhaps a Sunday school teacher who taught you the way of salvation. I wonder, do you reflect on that Sunday school teacher who made you aware of your lost estate, your sinful condition? Maybe as you sit there, those verses that you learned in Sunday school come to your memory. Verses like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or that great scripture found in John 3:16 maybe comes to your memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, friend, in the meeting tonight, God is gracious and he's long-suffering. He's not willing that anybody in this meeting should perish. But I ask you, what have you done with opportunities that you've been given in your life? Those opportunities that have been afforded to you through your life? Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Or tonight, does it find you having no time for him? Have you no thought of your soul tonight? Does it not prick your conscience that your soul is lost if you're not saved? You know, I pray tonight if God speaks to you, that you'll not let this night pass by without repenting. Well, life for me in Mullaglass came to an end when at the age of 8, as a family, we had to move home and we moved to Tandragee. And it was quite a change, even as a child. It was quite an upheaval. But it wasn't long when we moved there that we started to make friends with other children in and around the park. And I'm thankful that there were families in and around that park who were faithful and encouraged and invited us to the various meetings. I always recall Monday afternoons. I always enjoyed Monday afternoon getting out of school. We used to run home and it was a quick turnaround. And I recall well we met in a wee semi-detached house in the park that we had lived in at that time. That was Gladys's home, as we referred to it. And Gladys and a number of the ladies within the park had decided that they were to run a good news club for children. And they did it for many, many a year and were very faithful to it. But I remember being crammed into the front living room to the point that you needed cramps in your knees. There was no room to move. But they were fond times. I remember them well. And I'm thankful to God again that in those meetings, I was taught the way of salvation. I'm also thankful for the influence of those ladies in my life in those days. Well, it wasn't long, suppose months before we were started to get invitations to go along to the Sunday school there in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. And my mother saw that it was seen to that invitation was accepted. And me and my brothers and my sister were all sent along faithfully each Sunday morning to the Sunday school and to church there in Tandragee. And I thank my mother for that. Times weren't always easy, but I do thank her for her faithfulness in seeing that we were sent along to the Sunday school there. Well, the reason that I've come along tonight is not just to give you a history lesson of my life, but I would come tonight to tell you about the best day of my life. It's the most important day that will ever take place in anybody's life. And that's why I'm here. When I look back at the day that I became a believer, it fills me with thankfulness. I say that because it has shaped my life in a way that I or no one else ever could. I know that my life tonight would have been empty if I had never accepted Christ as Saviour. To have a testimony, you have to have had a day. You have to remember a day. You have to remember a time. You have to remember a place that you were converted. Every true conversion to Christ, right through the Bible, right through Scriptures, all those great men and women we read of, all had these three elements. So it's important that you remember today, or tonight. Can you remember the day, the time, and the place that you asked for forgiveness of sins and gave your life to God? Just want you to take a moment, and in your own heart, ask yourself those questions. Do you remember the day, the time, and the place that you got saved? If you cannot remember that most important event that anyone can ever have, I would ask you tonight to search your heart. It's not good enough to think that you're saved. It's not what other people think of you tonight. It doesn't matter if you have played the Christian life. It's all about your relationship with God tonight. It's between you and God. And I wonder here tonight, as you think about your life, I ask you the question, do you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Well, I went along to Sunday school and to church as normal on the 12th, Sunday the 12th of December 1982. And there was nothing different about that, as I've said. It was something that we did every Sunday. And I remember absolutely nothing regarding the Sunday school, I have to say, class. And that's no disrespect to the Sunday school teacher on that morning. But I do recall the morning service in Tandragee that morning. The late Reverend Allen was preaching in Tandragee back in those days. And I recall well that he was preaching through the book of Revelations. It seemed to have gone on for months and months and months. I remember vividly on that morning that he spoke about hell. I can't give you the title of his sermon or his points, but I knew that because of my sin, that I was where I was heading if I was to die in my sin. Any thought that I could live a life the way I wanted and hope to be in heaven someday was completely wiped out. I was a sinner, I was lost, and I knew it. And I wonder tonight, is that, do you know that you're a sinner? Do you know tonight that you're not saved, you're not getting into heaven? I remember Reverend Allen speaking about the Lamb's Book of Life. In the chapter 21, the verse 8, it tells us this, those names who will not be found in it. And then in verse 27, it says this, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, that's into heaven. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Tonight that great book has a record of every believer's name who truly repented of their sin and sought forgiveness. And there's no other way to have your name added to the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're ever to go to heaven, your name needs to be written in it. And tonight only you and God know whether your name is recorded there. Well, that Sunday I went home from church, and I know God was working in my heart. I remember that afternoon sitting in my bedroom, and God convicted me of what I had been taught that morning. I thought of where I was going, and to be honest with you, looking back as a child, it broke me. I knew the punishment that Christ had taken for my sin on the cross as a way for me to enjoy eternal life with God in heaven. And it was something that I couldn't put off. Tonight, if it were possible, I could take you back to that very room in the house we lived in back then. It's so vivid in my mind. I was 9 years old, and as a boy, I'm so thankful that God spoke to me even as a child. And tonight, there's young people in the meeting. You're not too young to be saved tonight. I didn't know how to pray, didn't know much of the Bible, but in a childlike prayer of faith, I asked God to wash away my sin and help me to live for him. And he did. And you know, I knew I was saved. I knew that burden had been lifted off my shoulder as a boy. I knew I was saved. I didn't have to pay anything. I didn't have to do anything else. It was childlike faith that I came to Christ. The plan of salvation is accepted by repentance and faith. Salvation, that big word, brings us into a personal relationship with God tonight. It also leads us through this life. And praise God someday to our eternal home in heaven. Tonight I wonder, do you maybe feel that you're not good enough to be a Christian? Well, Scripture tells us that that's a good starting point, and that's where we all need to get to become a Christian. The Bible tells us there that there's no one that is good. In Psalm 53, verse 3, it says, "Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, knoweth not one." The sin problem in your life was in you the day that you were born. But if you'll only seek forgiveness of your sin and admit that you're a sinner, tonight God can save you. It's not impossible. He can do it. No matter what sin you think is too big in your life, God's grace, God's forgiveness is much, much greater. And we praise God for that tonight. I love the verse 12 of Psalm 103. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Tonight, that's good, friend. That's good news, my friend. Whatever you think is holding you back from God, whatever sin it may be, you know, God has the power to remove it. He can forget it and put it behind him. My sins tonight are covered by the blood of Jesus, and tonight you can have that same assurance. I would have to say, as a teenager, unfortunately, I didn't always walk with God as I grew up. Perhaps life was easier as a young child. Whenever I moved into high school, I didn't always walk or perhaps serve God the way I should have. But you know, God never gave up on me. When he saved me, he kept me. Whenever I failed him, whenever I slipped, he lifted me up again. But I remember well one evening, it was at the Easter convention down at the Martyrs. I was 16, and I remember well, I knew that I wasn't walking close with God. And one of those Friday nights, at the age of 16, I remember well, just asking God to take a dealing with me. And I just prayed that I would surrender my whole life over to him. And God was gracious. He was good to me. And, you know, whenever I remember leaving that meeting, I knew I couldn't be the same person that I always was. I had to be different. I had to do things for, I had to serve Christ. And, you know, if you're a Christian here tonight, you should have that desire in your heart to serve God. It started out small, helping out at the youth fellowship, maybe taking part in the old people's homes that we went to at that time. And then I remember being given the opportunity, it's 27 years ago almost, I think it is, that God gave us the opportunity to sing around meetings with the boys in the group, the Kingdom Heirs. And that's been a privilege. It's been a privilege to serve God in this capacity. And God has encouraged me. He's encouraged the group as we have sought to spread the gospel and song. The blessings God has given to me they're too many for me to testify to tonight. He's brought me through lots of things that I could testify to tonight through employment and different things. But there's one thing that I do want to publicly thank God for, and I know she'll be embarrassed, but I want to thank God for my wife, Alison. I thank God for her and for all that she has done for me and does for me. And God has blessed us with three children, Mark, Joanna, and Sarah. And you know, tonight as a father, I have joy of knowing household salvation. What a blessing it is to know that your children are saved. As I look down over the meeting tonight, I'm sure there are a lot of people who have problems and difficulties that are perhaps going on in your life even now. And as always, the faces that you see don't always tell the story of what's going on in someone's life. Sadly, there's nothing unique about that. It's just part of the reality of life. We all go through problems. We all go through the difficulties and trials of life at some stage. If you're saved, you will go through them. If you haven't already, you will go through them. Tonight, if you're unsaved, you will go through them also. It's no respecter of persons. Difficulties and problems come along. But I can testify tonight that I don't go through my problems alone. Jesus knows. He knows all about me. He cares for me. And tonight, friend, that makes all the difference. Doesn't matter what problem comes along our way in life. Knowing that Christ loves us, he cares for us, he walks beside us, that makes all the difference. I read a statement once, don't know whose quote it is, but it says that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Whenever trials come, it's important that we don't turn away from God. It's important that we don't grow cold and blame him whenever those trials come, whenever our faith gets tested. And it can be difficult to understand. It can be difficult to understand why God allows us to go through those trying situations. What I will say is tonight, if we go through those situations and we're not grounded in our faith, we will struggle when those times come. But praise God, we can use those times of trial, those times of testing to develop our faith. I don't care who you are tonight, but God has a personal plan for your life. There's no one plan of God that fits all. It says in Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are perfect, even though sometimes they seem very peculiar to us. His ways are also perfect, even though they're painful. In September 2017, my faith was tested in a way that perhaps I wasn't prepared for. When I say that, suppose that's the usual way that trouble comes into our lives. It just creeps in and it takes hold of us. You don't expect it. I would say, looking back in September of 2017, my life was good. I would say that I was thankful for all the blessings that God had given to us as a family, to me personally. And as a Christian, I would say I was walking with God. I was serving God, obviously singing around the churches at that stage, helping out in meetings. I held the position of a deacon in St. Field Baptist, and I was leading the youth fellowship there as well. I recall well at the beginning of September of that year that I was planning to take our young people away for their youth weekend, and looking forward to taking time with the young people. Looking forward to seeing them grow in their faith and to see their talents being used for God. On the morning of Sunday, the 10th of September, life was good. The family got up, we all got up as normal at breakfast, and I recall well, as was the normal, the children, Alison, I got the children ready, and it was always my job on a Sunday morning that I took the children down to Sunday school for 10:15 and then back up to home again to get ready for the morning service ourselves. That morning, I was putting on my shirt and I noticed a swelling on the left-hand side of my neck, something that I'd never seen before. And I recall mentioning it to Alison, and women are always the wise ones. Alison says, "Derek, I think of it, probably nothing, but maybe you should get it checked out with the GP. It wasn't something that I certainly gave a lot of concern about. I was working away, I was feeling good, and I was keeping pretty active, so why would I need to worry? I had no symptoms, no pains to indicate that anything was wrong. And so that morning, we went to church as normal, and life just continued that week, more or less, as normal. I suppose on the Monday morning, I thought I'd better do as I was told, and I made an appointment to see the doctor down in Saintfield. And that was okay. I worked the Monday, came home, and I had done for 20 plus years more, went and played football on the Monday night. And it was like every other Monday night. I came home feeling good, and life went on. So on the Wednesday, Wednesday of that week, I had the appointment in the afternoon. I went to see the doctor, and after a pretty quick examination, she felt that perhaps it needed further investigation, this swelling on my neck. I remember coming home, and Alison had worked down in the Ulster Clinic in Belfast. She had arranged for me to go to get an ultrasound scan, as the GP had said that it would take a while to get it done. So we got it paid, and we went for the scan and went down. And to be honest with you, I thought it was just going to be another one, like going to the dentist, I suppose, and just you would come home and get on with life. I probably should add at this point that Alison is a radiographer. And maybe looking back then, Alison had her own thoughts. She certainly didn't share any with me, and so therefore I was pretty unconcerned. Got the ultrasound scan and came home, and again, probably, maybe I'm a wee bit slow in the uptake, but I didn't think too much of it. Came home from work on the Thursday, and I recall well that Alison had met me to tell me that one of her colleagues from the city hospital had phoned and that I was to go for an urgent CT scan on the Friday, down to the city hospital on the Friday afternoon. I recall thinking, well, it wasn't ideal. That was the Friday evening that I was to take our young people away for their youth weekend. I was to leave the church there, Saintfield, at 6:30. And really and truly, I thought, well, this isn't really going to work too well. It doesn't fit into what I have planned. Suppose after that CT scan, if I'm honest, worry, fear, uncertainty of life began to dawn on me. I had begun to digest some of that information that had been given about the swelling. And suppose in those early days I made a conscious decision I wasn't going to do any Google research on anything like that. But I'd be lying tonight if I didn't have those thoughts of why me? Why is this happening to us? I suppose the answer eventually that I got to that question is, well, why not me? You know, whenever I consider people who are not saved going through trials and trouble, who have nobody that can depend on, well, why not me? I remember thinking that I physically or emotionally I couldn't take the young people away, and perhaps wasn't coping particularly well. But God had different plans, and when we got home from the hospital, it was late evening, and it was a quick turnaround to get down to the church to get the young people gathered onto the bus. And you know, I am so thankful tonight that as a Christian we don't stand alone. Yes, we've got Christ, but he's given us Christian friends, he's given us family that we can come to at times of trouble. You know, I'll never forget those two couples that were coming away with us on that weekend to help out with the cooking. And I remember Alison and me give consideration, because at that time we remembered that our three children would be going on the youth weekend, and there was a lot of things that we had to keep to ourselves that we couldn't share with others at that time in the early days. But I'm thankful to God for those two couples. They took the burden off us that weekend. And I don't believe that God just puts anybody in a specific place. He puts people in the right place at the right time. And I look back and, you know, it was a lovely weekend away with the young people. It was a source of encouragement, and God blessed us through it. Well, suppose after that, life continued just with a cloud over us, because at this stage there was still no diagnosis. And into October 2017, well, it meant surgery and more scans, tests, before they could give me any definitive results. I'd have to say all this time, I'd have to say God was faithful and gracious to me and to Alison. He was good to us both. And we never attended an appointment where he didn't give us comfort from his word. And there was times when things fell into place that it proved to us that God was in control of all things, right through to appointments been brought forward where we thought we would have to wait perhaps weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden a phone call came through and the appointment was put up the list. And we're thankful to God for all of that. Well, the 19th of October was a day we were to go to get the results down in the Royal Victoria Hospital. And I remember sitting, we had to sit for quite some time waiting. The surgeon was obviously busy. But I remember being told those words that I had cancer and that I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And if I'm honest with you tonight, I'm not standing up here being brave or any shape or form. That day I felt my life was falling apart. There were questions about what life was going to bring, not just to me, but to Alison, to the children. But I remember well being blessed through a wee chorus a number of days after it. You'll all know it. We sing it many times, but it meant so much to me at the time. And it says, I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near to be my guide. He'll show the way to me. I do not know the course ahead, what joys and griefs there are, but one stands near who fully knows. I'll trust his loving care. I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow with his problems, large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles, give to him my all. To say that things were easy in life at that time would be a lie. But knowing the path that I was on was part of God's plan gave me a sense of encouragement, and it gave me peace. I commenced my chemotherapy in December of 2017, and God sustained me. He gave me help through those times, through those following months as we took the treatment. I had to come to a point where I left my future completely in God's hands. During this time, the children were continuing to go to school, Alison was continuing to work, and often I was alone at home by myself. And I'll only look back now, probably, and I look back on it with happiness, simply because I don't ever recall having a period of time in my life that I had time to spend with God, just him and me, reading his word and praying with him. I had nowhere to be, and there was nothing that had to be done so urgently around the house. Those were precious times with God that I'm thankful for. You know, in Scripture there are many metaphors used which resemble pain and suffering. And one of these is the furnace. And I'm sure there's no one in the meeting tonight would ever volunteer to take a spell inside a furnace. But when God permits those things to happen in our lives, there are benefits that we receive that we otherwise would never experience. Living the comfortable, run-of-the-mill life can be very appealing. But often in the furnace, we are tried like never before. Our faith gets tested. What does it test? Well, it tests our genuineness in our relationship with God. It tests our faith. The furnaces we will experience in life will try us in order to refine and mature us in our walk with God. But friends, tonight there's always a purpose for that time in the furnace that you find yourself maybe in tonight as well. And often we'll never know why that time in the furnace has been permitted. The furnace, as we know, is used to make something stronger. It's made to make something more beautiful. And in order for this to happen, it requires refining and burning away. The trial we go through, it cleanses us and it refines us. And I'm thankful to God tonight for his love and help and his mercy in bringing me through the treatment. And I thank him and praise him that tonight I am in remission of the cancer. And I'm thankful for how God has sustained us through that. There's one more thing that we should remember regarding the furnace. I don't know whether you're in the furnace tonight or not, or whether you'll go into it in the week that comes. But you'll only stay in that furnace as long as God permits it. God is in full control during these times. He's the one that controls the temperature, the time clock of the furnace. Whatever furnace you're in, God is in control of it all tonight. God's faithful. God will be faithful. If you have him as your saviour tonight, he will be faithful to you. My recovery was good. After the chemotherapy, as I say, I was in remission, and I recovered quite quickly, and before long I was back to work again, and back to doing all those things that I thoroughly enjoyed. And suppose life was more precious. It put things in perspective. Those things that we take the time up with worrying about, well, those things perhaps didn't seem so important anymore. Certainly my walk with God, my family, those things that God has blessed us with were the important things. Well, moving on, I suppose last year, and we're still living with the consequences of it, everybody's world was turned upside down. And on the 27th of February, I believe, Northern Ireland reported its first case of coronavirus. And I'm sure, like many of you, I thought nothing much of it. But you began to do those things that we were being advised to do, and the hand sanitizing and all these things that we started to do, and it became the norm. Well, at the beginning of April last year, I was feeling slightly unwell. And I would have to say, after my cancer treatment and all the rest of it, I hadn't had one day of illness or anything else. And as I say, beginning of April, I started to feel slightly unwell, but it was nothing that I would say stopped me doing anything, any of the normal things in my life. But as the week progressed, I have to say I felt a lot worse. Began to get fevers and shivers, loss of appetite, no smell or taste. And at that time last year, this loss of smell and taste didn't even come into any of the government guidelines as regarding coronavirus. And I felt perhaps I had a flu or something onto those lines. But by the end of the week, I certainly wasn't well. And Alison thought that it would be best that I got checked out. And so we went down to the Ulster Hospital. And in those very early days of the pandemic, whenever you went to the hospital, you weren't checked, you weren't swabbed or anything for coronavirus. The only time they tested you was if you were actually admitted to hospital. And so that night, I remember well getting a chest x-ray and bloods taken. And I remember the doctor well saying to me, well, it's possible you have coronavirus, but we think probably be better if you just go home and take paracetamol, you'd be better off at home. And to be honest with you, I was more than happy with that. The thought of being in hospital didn't sit too well with me. Unfortunately, I didn't improve too much, and by the 7th of April last year, I began to develop breathing difficulties. The temperatures were something I'd never experienced before. They were constantly 39, 40 degrees. And I don't believe I've ever felt so unwell in all my life. I can't remember the date exactly, Alison probably could tell you the date exactly, but I remember well Alison saying, Derek, will you not let me phone the out-of-hours doctor? I said, no, I'll be all right, just keep giving me the paracetamol. And I remember Alison then eventually, it was near midnight, I think, and I remember Alison phoning the out-of-hours GP, and within minutes, the GP had said to Alison that I needed to get to the hospital. I remember Alison driving me down to the Ulster Hospital and letting me out there at the door of the wee area that they were using at that stage. I was very weak, I could hardly walk to the door, and I was deteriorating quite quickly. And suppose one of the things that I do recall and I remember well is I remember getting out of the car and going into the hospital that night, but I didn't think that it would be 5 weeks or just over 5 weeks before I would see Alison or the children ever again. And I'll encourage you, men, be thankful for your wives. Sometimes you don't realise what you have until it's gone. And that was a difficult thing for me to cope with at that time. Well, that night I was admitted anyway to the hospital. And I spent over a week in the COVID ward. But sadly, I didn't make any improvement. And if anything, I deteriorated further to the point that I was unable to get out of bed, and my breathing became quite laboured and it was quite hard to breathe. I'd have to say probably a lot of the things that happened to me at that point, they're totally distorted my mind. I wasn't quite with it. But I do recall the day that the nursing staff and doctor decided that I was unable to stay on the ward any longer, and that they felt that the proper place for me was to go to intensive care. And at that point, I was on what they call the CPAP mask, I'm sure you have heard of. And I recall well on the trolley going down to the ICU, the doctors discussing whether or not that I should be intubated or not. And I recall crying and pleading with them not to do it. It's something that I feared. And I praise God that he spared me from that. It was a harrowing experience. It's not something that's easy to talk of or remember about. But there's one night that I want to refer to during my, I think it was 8 days in intensive care. I don't know whether it was night. I don't know whether it was day or morning or whatever time of the day it was, but things were particularly overwhelming, and I remember well a thought that my outcome was death. I was going to die. I was suffocating. I knew I was suffocating. With the mask on, my mouth was dry. And I have to admit that I was fearful that I was going to die. I was fearful that I was going to die alone. I was lying somewhere that was completely alien to me, with none of my family. But I'm thankful tonight that as I look back, I wasn't alone. And I remember consciously praying to God. Now, I couldn't speak, but I remember crying unto God and just asking for his presence to come alongside me. I have to say, I didn't doubt that I was saved. I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. But that didn't take away the worry that I was had at that time. I was at the lowest point, and I felt like death was going to be the outcome. I couldn't speak words, but my soul cried to God. And that night he did something special to me that I'll carry with me the rest of my days. The presence of God that I felt that night was supernatural. It's not something that I can describe to you tonight here. It's not something that a medical person could have given me. It was God gave me his peace. And as I lay there in ICU, I experienced the peace of God. I felt his presence, and I remember feeling just completely at ease with everything. And it was precious. It was a precious time. It was a precious feeling. I had no cares, I had no worries, and I have to confess, I had no thoughts of Alison or the children. It was just me, and it was just God. It was just the two of us there. And I can honestly say, truthfully, that I was prepared, and I was happy to die. Perhaps I longed to escape from the torment that I was in, the suffocating feeling, the thirst, and the weakness. I can't fully describe the peace that God gave me, but it was real and it was precious to me. There, even at my lowest, the most lonely time probably in my life, God was faithful. Tonight in this meeting, he's that same faithful God. Whatever problem you are facing in life, he waits and he's willing to draw alongside you too. Well, after a number of days in ICU, the doctors had realised that my condition wasn't improving any, and so they started me on a trial drug. No idea what it was really or anything else, but I am thankful that it changed the direction of the condition. And as I say, after 8 days I returned to the ward and I started to improve slightly. And I remember well being wheeled out of the ICU and I was lying on the trolley. But I remember well going past windows that were up quite high and looking at the blue sky. I hadn't seen blue sky in a couple of weeks probably. But I remember it looked so perfect. It made me so happy. It reminded me of God's creation, how that he showed his love in all that we see and have around us each day. When I was emotionally, I was physically vulnerable, and it wasn't long until I was onto the ward that Satan attacked me. I remember well him putting those thoughts in my mind. How could I be happy to die and leave Alison, leave the children? And I struggled greatly with it, because that was the truth of the matter. I was happy to leave this scene of time. But God makes no mistakes. On the ward where I was, there was a nurse who I had known for a lifetime. I thank God for her, a Christian girl. And Ruth was so good to us as a family. She was very good to me. And whenever Alison couldn't get anything into the hospital, she brought me in a Bible. She brought me snacks, and she just went that extra mile for me. And I remember she would have come into the ward and had a conversation with me. And I remember telling her about the experience that I'd I had of the presence of God, but how that I was struggling with the difficulty of, you know, how could I leave my family and not have a worry about it? And I remember well what she said to me. She said, "Do you think God would have given you thoughts that you would worry about, that would worry you at this time? You asked for his peace and he answered." You know, I thank God for her wisdom that day, because it made everything right. It was the peace of God. Whenever you experience the peace of God, he'll not give you those things that worry you, those things that are going to bring you heartache. His peace is perfect. And tonight, you know, I thank God for those doctors and nurses that are Christians who work in amongst us at times. And I know I've been blessed under their care, and I thank God for them. Well, after a number of days, I don't do things by half. My condition started to deteriorate again, and the doctors had made provision for me to return to intensive care, and I was broken. I remember just lying on the bed, crying. I had no strength. I couldn't walk. I could do nothing for myself. And I do remember asking God, why? Why is this happening? And I remember just out of nowhere, I can't explain it, out of nowhere, in my mind, a wee chorus that I used to sing in UYF, and I haven't heard it in years and years, and it came to my mind, and I remember trying to sing it, even though I couldn't breathe very well. I was probably mumbling behind the oxygen mask, but I didn't really care. And the wee verse goes like this. It says, "Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no peace, there's no rest until the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hands. Rest secure in his plans. Let the Lord have his way." And I remember the nurses probably thought I had gone completely doolally, but I sang it as best as I could four or five times over. And I don't remember what happened after that. I must have fell over to sleep. And, you know, back then I remember the nurses were always trying to encourage me and saying to me, you know, you're a fighter. Keep fighting. You're doing well. You're a fighter. But I knew in my heart I had nothing to do with it. It was out of my control completely. And I remember leaving myself completely over into God's plan, that perfect plan that he had for me. It gave me peace. And as I say, I went to sleep. And I recall another nurse, I called Esther, never forget her. I remember her coming in and she actually waking me up. And I remember her telling me, you know, "Derek, you don't need to worry. You're not going back to intensive care. The tests and results they've done are all going in the right direction. You'll not need to go." And, you know, I look back at that. I remember crying and happiness. And I can honestly say from that point on, I progressed leaps and bounds. And I truly believe it was because I left my life over into his hands. I had gone past. There was nothing I could do for myself. What I will say is, during that time, there's one thing that I can say I'm thankful for, and that is being part of the family of God. I remember whenever started to get strength and talking to Alison would have phoned or whatever, and Alison would have been telling me about how many people had sent cards and people here praying for me. And people, you know, tonight, you'll never know the encouragement that was to us as a family. People praying whenever we couldn't pray. And I thank God for you tonight. I thank God for placing me in your hearts and praying for me at that time. I'm here tonight because of answered prayer, not because of anything that the medical profession really did for me. Certainly nothing of myself. It's all of God, and I give him glory for that. I thank God that he answered those prayers according to his will. There's no mistakes in life, and I thank God for that. Well, last year, I was discharged on the 11th of May last year, and I didn't come home with the frame that I have tonight. I'd lost considerable weight. I had to learn to walk again. There was so much that had to be done again to get back to strength. But, you know, God's been good, and I can say glory to God for all that he has done for me. I don't want to take up any more time, but I want to ask you a question in closing tonight. In the storms of life, and they will come, they come to us all, when things don't go to your plan, perhaps when there seems no hope, who do you turn to? I ask you tonight, have you a genuine faith in God? I can testify tonight that if you wholly trust in him, no matter what, the valley, whatever it is that comes your way, he'll go through it with you because he's faithful. I can testify to God's faithfulness through these difficulties that I've had. And I'm very aware, as I look down, that there's people with their own problems. Perhaps it's the death of a loved one. Perhaps it is sickness, family breakups, or something that nobody knows nothing about tonight. If you're saved tonight, hold fast to God. He's precious. He's precious to us that know him as Saviour. Not just in the good times, but in the hard times also. As believers, we hold that verse found in Romans 8:28 dear, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. You've had bad things happen to you. I've had bad things happen to me. I don't know about you. Whenever you come through these trials, I can honestly say I would never put my hand up and say, yes, I'll take cancer. I'll take coronavirus and experience it. I'd run a mile from it. But you know, as I look back on it, I wouldn't change any of those experiences for anything. There are times that I have experienced God's presence like I never in my life before. And I do trust and pray that he has refined me to what he would want me to be. Charles Spurgeon said that the promises of God never shine so brightly as in the furnace of affliction. And I pray tonight that you'll be encouraged to trust Christ as your Saviour if you don't already know him. And if you're praying perhaps for someone or a situation that seems hopeless, tonight I pray that you'll be encouraged to pray on and go on with God. Thank you.
Folks, I think we've all been greatly challenged by what we've heard tonight. And I'm really just going to close the meeting because I don't think there's anything more I need to say. Because the Lord has spoken to us all, I believe, tonight, challenged us and blessed us as well through our brother Derek's testimony. I remember the first time I saw him after just all of this happened to him was in our car park here, and he came out to his wife and family to the drive-in services that we're holding, and I just marveled, and somebody said Derek Preston's in the car park, and it was a real answer to prayer. And I know that we have a WhatsApp group in our church here, and there was just daily those petitions going up for you, brother, and God has answered, and we give God the glory and him the praise. And if you'd been spoken to tonight, Derek, I'll ask him just to go out into that big hall there. He's going to stand there. You can greet him from a distance. I'll go outside somewhere. But if you need to speak to either of us, we're here to help you tonight and to show you from God's word how you can be saved. You don't need Derek Preston or Alan Smiley. You can come to the Lord just as he did those years ago in his own home. But come to the Lord tonight. Perhaps our brother Stanley, you just lead us in a closing word of prayer, please. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, we thank the Lord for what we've heard. Say with the psalmist, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. We think of the words of Samuel Rutherford, the Covenanter, when Christ gives us a cross to carry, he's always there to carry the heavy end. And we thank the Lord that you're a great God, Lord, that we can trust in thee in all things, that you will work it all out for your honour and for your glory. Continue to bless your servant and his family and to keep your good hand upon them. Watch over our church and our fellow members, and grant, Lord, that in these days, Lord, that thou would be with us and watch over us and guide us and protect us, even from this COVID virus. Our Lord, part us with your blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.